Last Sunday morning, we got a view of generosity toward our fellow man in our study of Luke chapter 10. This morning, I'd like for us to observe another term that fits in with the same consideration, and that is the term stewardship. And one of the things that I'd like for us to recognize in our study today is the fact that our stewardship must be characterized by generosity. Now, the word stewardship is only found a handful of times in pretty much any translation of the Bible, but it is a term which means duties and work of a steward. Hence the scripture reading that Stuart read to us from Luke chapter 12 a few minutes ago, where Jesus asked the question, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants?" A steward in New Testament times was a servant in the household who was entrusted with the duty of managing the household and overseeing the money that was spent in order to accomplish the matters that pertain to the day-to-day workings of the household itself. Generosity is, of course, the key word to this month's personal Bible study efforts. And while we'd like to put these two words together this morning in our study, there may be a little bit of confusion as to how these two could go together. Generous stewardship. At first glance, it would seem that the main duty of stewardship, or the main duty of a steward, would of course be considered in view of the fact that he is a very conservative, sometimes we might even conclude a stingy person, very tight with the purse strings and never willing to be anything other than just the absolute epitome of carefulness in spending money that belongs to the master, even in order to accomplish the work of the house. I believe that's a little bit of a warped view of what a steward was, though surely a man would be glad if he could find a very, very, very conservatively minded, when it comes to money, servant, and put him in charge of all of the household money. Stewardship is not about stinginess. Stewardship is about responsibility. And while there may have been a number of characteristics or qualities that those stewards in the first century may have had, the concept of stewardship as it applies to Christian service is all about responsibility. The matter of being responsible. And to that, we want to add the concept of generosity. Now, responsibility is a word that we are not at all unfamiliar with, even though some may argue that responsibility seems to be a vanishing trait in today's culture around us, and it'd be hard to argue with that idea. As Christians, we are and must be responsible with that which God blesses us with. But one of the things that God expects of all of us is generosity, particularly in any matter related to Christian service. And thus the second part of our lesson text that Stuart read to us a few minutes ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 There in that chapter, Paul is telling about the Macedonian Christians. And he's describing their great generosity, even in a time of severe affliction and poverty. We'd say they were right in the middle of some really, really hard times. And yet the overwhelming characteristic of that group of people, as Paul describes them, is their generosity. Their generosity to help those who were in need. Paul said they had overflowed in a wealth of generosity. Let's not miss the point. As Christians, we are God's stewards. And the same characteristics of generous stewardship must be seen in us. All of the resources that we have are His. Every good and perfect gift is from above. God blesses us to be able to have all that we have. And we are responsible for how we are accountable for how we use those resources that God blesses us with. In hard times and in easy times. And in all of the times in between, you might say that there never is a time when our generous stewardship gets to take a break. We might just as well try to argue that God takes a break sometimes in providing us with the things that we need. I don't think I've ever seen anybody who would claim, well, you know, I'm going to take a break from my generosity when it comes to giving to God because, you know, every now and then God takes a break in His blessings of me. Never heard that before. Never known anybody who would make that claim. And yet if it follows one way, shouldn't you be able to point out that it follows the other way as well? Has God ever taken a break? Has God ever gone on vacation from His care and His provisions? Has there ever been a week or two that you didn't get any air to breathe? The sun rises every day and shines on us, sometimes more than we want, especially here lately. But God is always in the supplying business. And so our stewardship, our generous stewardship, should be just as consistent. We are to be good and faithful stewards and to be generous in that matter. Now, obviously, one of the most frequent applications of our stewardship, especially to God, is in our giving to Him on every first day of the week. So as we begin this study this morning, I'd like to start out by noticing what I'm calling four defining facts about our giving, about our generous stewardship. First of all, and this is very, very simple. If you're expecting something really complicated, you're going to be disappointed because it is a fact that, first of all, God demands to be first. That is a defining fact about our giving. God demands to be first in our giving. He demands to be first in our living. God must always come first. It would be easy to spend a lot of time this morning talking about all of the ways that we sometimes stumble and fail to put God first in our lives. And we could talk about some of the circumstances that interfere in our dedication to God. And we could talk about all kinds of things. But let's just leave it at the fact that God demands to be first. And anytime we do not meet that demand from God, we are not pleasing in His sight. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, we read, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all that you produce." In all honesty, in these modern times, those words are pretty easy. But the putting them into practice is a challenge almost every day. God demands to be first, especially in our giving. That means that when I consider what I will give to God, I will consider His portion first. God is not going to be satisfied with whatever's left after I've taken care of many other obligations. I'm not really sure why we don't view God in the same level of importance as other things that we have sometimes quite honorably obligated ourselves to. God demands to be first. In the second place, number two, our giving must be proportional. Proportional, that's a word that means a portion based on the entirety. A portion, a certain portion of the entire thing. You know, the Scriptures leave no doubt that God is concerned with percentages. Did you know that? God is very much concerned with percentages. In the patriarchal age, the Bible tells how that Abraham gave a tenth or a tithe of his captured resources to the king priest Melchizedek, Genesis chapter 14. Later on in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob vowed to return to God one-tenth, 10% as we would say, of all that God blessed him with. As you come forward in time to the Mosaic age, when the Mosaic law was instituted, the Hebrews were required to give God a tenth annually of their produce and of their livestock, according to Deuteronomy 26 and Leviticus chapter 27. A tenth came to be called a tithe. It comes as somewhat of a surprise to many people, though, that there is not a single solitary New Testament passage that suggests the tithe is the appropriate standard for Christian giving. However, there are plenty of passages, even in the New Testament, that make it clear that our giving is to be proportional. And God expects that. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, Paul instructed, "On the first day of every week, each of you should lay by in store as he has prospered," or in accordance with the entire amount. It appears that God even foresaw the old argument that a lot of folks would make, saying, "Well, I don't have much, so I'm not going to be able to give anything to God. I'm not sure how many times I've heard people say that, but it would be a large number if I were to count all of them. I just really don't have anything much, and so I'm not able to give to God. I believe God saw that coming. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, Paul tells us that our giving is to be according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. Jesus even stated this same principle during his earthly ministry. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, he said, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." And so inevitably the question comes up, well, what's the percentage? If you say that the 10%, the tithe, was Old Testament stuff, what's the New Testament number? Pretty much all of our religious neighbors adhere to that Old Testament law concerning the tithe, or at least modern day understanding of that. Honestly, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable at all with that when it comes to the money that God has blessed me with. You see, unlike the Jews of the Old Testament, we live under what the Bible describes as a better covenant. The Bible says it has better promises. It says we live with a better hope, with the full cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm really just not comfortable following the example of the scribes and Pharisees. You know, they were sticklers for the old 10% rule, the tithe. Even tithing of the tiniest herbs and plants that grew in their gardens. Tell you why I'm not comfortable with them. For example, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, Jesus said, "For I say unto you that unless your righteousness surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." How am I going to give to God? Am I going to give like an Old Testament follower of God? I don't think so. I believe God has given me the ability and the understanding to do a lot better than that. Well, then what's the percentage? Well, that's just it. God has left that number to you and me to decide, with the understanding that we are stewards, and that even as stewards, we are to be characterized by generosity. Number three, the Bible teaches us very clearly that our giving needs to be regular. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, the passage we looked at a minute ago, says that our giving is to be done on the first day of every week, and as we have prospered, in other words, as frequently as we have income, or as frequently as we have prospered, we need to give. The fact is, there are a lot of folks who take sort of a haphazard approach to giving. Well, you know, I haven't given anything lately. I believe I'll give some Sunday. I hope and pray that's not the basis that you use to determine your giving. Surely, this is one of the reasons why God intends that our attendance be consistent, so that our giving can be consistent. And then number four, The Bible tells us that our giving must be cheerful. Nothing is stated any more clearly in the New Testament. No other principle of Christianity is any more evident. Early on in the story of the church, nothing, or actually the experiences of the life condition of those people, was a story of difficulty. And yet they are portrayed in the early chapters of the book of Acts as being happy to give, to share, and to help one another. We can't deny that the experiences of life condition people to be somewhat self-centered. Honestly, we sometimes describe it as a dog-eat-dog world out there. From practically every direction, a developing human mind is influenced with the insidious me-first doctrine. On the other hand, Christ and Christianity equips us to be servants, not only to God, but also to our fellow man. God gives us the tools and the resources that we need to be vital, shining lights in our world. And as good stewards, we must use those resources wisely. And so in return to God's blessings, we give back a portion of His bounty to Him. And we do so happily, cheerfully. It's amazing how much happiness giving generates in the heart. Jesus taught that those on the giving end are a lot better off than those on the receiving end. If you've given very much at all, you've experienced that. And you know that that is surely true. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. Now, for the rest of our time this morning, let's take a quick look at four Bible stewards as we seek to hone and to sharpen our stewardship, particularly in the direction of generosity. We could consider, first of all, the Bible story of one who possessed very much, but with what he possessed, he did so very little. His story is told in Luke chapter 12. We call him the rich fool. You see, this man had as his biggest concern a storage problem. He had a storage problem. He said, I've had such a big harvest this year, I don't have anywhere to put all of my produce. And so here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build greater, and everything will be good. I'll say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said, thou fool, this day shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? You see, he had no thought for his soul or for what he could do for those around him. And his life ended, and all he left behind was a full barn and an empty legacy. And along the way in his life, it's clear that he never cultivated the relationship that he needed with God. He had much, but with it he did so very little. The Bible also tells us about a fellow who possessed little, and with that little he did absolutely nothing at all. We know him as the one talent man in Matthew chapter 25. And in Jesus' parable in which this man appears, this man is described as a man who had little ability. However, he was expected to do with what little he had all that he could. And you remember the story how that he was condemned as a wicked, lazy, poor steward over his master's money because he didn't do anything with it. Then the Bible tells us about one who had so very little, and yet Jesus said she did with that little more than anybody else, even though they had much. Jesus described that poor widow there in Mark chapter 12, verses 43 and 44, in terms that leave no question in our minds as to whether she was a good steward or not. No question about whether or not she was generous. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of the contributors in the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she owned, all that she had to live on." The Bible also describes many who had more than many people. And the Bible tells us how they used it very generously. In the Old Testament, we read about Abraham, a very wealthy man, how he used what God blessed him with to God's glory. Job was another who had great wealth, lost it, and then God blessed him with it again. And certainly our conclusion would be that he used it in a way that God was pleased. But in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 4, we find a description of the members of the Jerusalem church. In Acts chapter 4, verses 34 and 35, the Bible says, "For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of lands or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need." And then the Bible goes on to describe Barnabas as one of those. Now, some people have mistakenly gotten the idea that the Lord's work can only be carried on by those who own a lot of real estate. That's not the point here at all. The fact is, all of us are far better off than most of the people in this world. Even the poorest among us still has so much in comparison to the majority of the people in this world. In God's view, we are richly blessed. How are we using what we have? One of the things that Paul instructed Timothy to teach those who were wealthy was to instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18. Money. What a blessing. Oh, but what a potential for problems. Did you know that money is a factor in about 90% of the divorces in our land today? Did you know that the average family in the United States today has almost $10,000 in credit card debt? Did you know that less than 2% of Americans who have worked all of their lives, less than 2% are financially stable at age 65 and are not still in need of earning more income? Did you know that in the United States, it has always been a trade, and especially in the last few decades, that as incomes rise, giving drops, generally speaking. You know, those are some interesting statistics. Hopefully causing us to think even more seriously about the importance of generosity as it pertains to our stewardship. We are to be generous with those around us. We are to be generous with God, understanding that we are accountable as stewards. If you're not a child of God by virtue of obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'd like to see you do that today. If you believe in Jesus as God's Son, if you're willing to repent and turn away from sin, if you are willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God and the Lord and Master of your life, if you are willing to be baptized in water to have your sins washed away, then that's exactly what the New Testament teaches is needed in order to be a Christian. If you've already done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back and let it be known that you're going to walk in that path no longer? Rededicate yourself to God's service. Receive the forgiveness and the restoration that He offers. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.